Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Daily Bread for Busy Moms. My name is Sophia, and I will be reading for you today. Today is Wednesday, the 28th of July, which is the 19th of Av on the Hebrew calendar. This week's Torah portion is called Ikiv, which means consequence, and today's Aliyah is Deuteronomy 10, verse 1 through 11. Before we start the reading, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples, through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. At that time the Lord said to me, "Carve for yourself two tablets of stone like the first ones, and come up to me on the mountain. Make yourself an ark of wood. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets that you smashed, and you are to put them in the ark." So I made an ark of acacia wood, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and went up the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. Like the first inscription, the Lord wrote on the tablets the 10 words he had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, then gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made, and there they are, just as the Lord commanded me. Bnei Israel traveled from the wells of the sons of Yaakan to Moserah, where Aaron died and was buried, and his son Eleazar served as Kohen in his place. From there they journeyed to Gudgod, and from Gudgod to Yotva, a land of wadis flowing with water. At that time, the Lord set the tribe of Levi apart to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to serve Him, and to pronounce blessings in His name, as is the case to this day. Therefore, Levi has no portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God had promised about him. I stayed on the mountain like the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord listened to me that time also, and was not willing to destroy you. The Lord said to me, "Rise up, go, journey ahead of the people so that they may go in and possess the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." That was Deuteronomy 10, verses 1 through 11. Our portion from the prophets is Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. In the 25th year of our exile, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was struck down, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me there. In visions, God brought me to the land of Israel, and set me down upon a very high mountain. On it, toward the south, was something like the construction of a city. He brought me there. And behold, there was a man whose appearance was like bronze. He had a linen cord in his hand and a measuring rod. He was standing in the gateway. The man said to me, "Son of man, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, set your heart on all that I show you. For I brought you here in order to show you and report all that you see to the house of Israel." Behold, an outer wall was all around the house. The measuring rod in the man's hand was 6 cubits long, each of which was a normal cubit and a handbreadth. When he measured the thickness of the wall structure, it was 1 rod, and the height was 1 rod. Then he went to the gate that faced east and went up its steps. When he measured the threshold of the gate, it was 1 rod wide. Also the other threshold was 1 rod wide. Each guard chamber was 1 rod long and 1 rod wide. The space between the chambers was 5 cubits. The threshold of the gate by the porch of the gate, facing the house, measured 1 rod. When he measured the porch of the gate toward the house, it was 1 rod. When he measured the porch of the gate, it was 8 cubits. Its pillars were 2 cubits. The porch of the gate faced the house. Now the guard chambers of the east gate were 3 on this side and 3 on the other side. The 3 had the same measurement. The side pillars had the same measure on this side and on that side. When he measured the width of the entrance of the gate, it was 10 cubits, and the length of the gate was 13 cubits. A barrier wall was in front of the guard chambers, 1 cubit on each side. Each chamber was 6 cubits on each side. When he measured the gate from the roof of the one chamber to the roof of the other, the width was 25 cubits, door facing door. Then he did the pillars, 60 cubits. A gateway extended all around to the pillar of the courtyard. Now from the front of the gate of the entrance to the front of the inner porch of the gate measured 50 cubits. There were shuttered windows toward the chambers and toward their pillars with their surrounding gate. And likewise the porches had windows all around inside. On each pillar were palm trees. Then he brought me to the outer court. Behold, there were rooms and pavement made for the surrounding court, with 30 rooms along the pavement. The pavement was by the side of the gates, as wide as the gates were long. This was the lowest pavement. He measured the width from the front of the lower gate to the exterior front of the inner court. It was 100 cubits, to the east and to the north. Next, he measured the length and width of the gate of the outer court facing toward the north. Its guard chambers were 3 on this side and 3 on that side. Its pillars and its porches had the same measurements as the first gate, 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Its windows, porches, and palm trees were the same measurements as the gate facing toward the east. Its stairway had 7 steps, and its porch was in front of them. A gate to the inner court was opposite the other gate, northward and eastward. He measured 100 cubits from gate to gate. That was Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. Our next portion is from the writings, and it is 1 Chronicles chapter 19. Now in the course of time, Nahash, king of the Ammonites, died, and his son became king in his place. David said, I will show loving kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, because his father dealt loyally with me. So David sent messengers to console him concerning his father. But when David's emissaries came to Hanun in the land of the Ammonites to console him, the Ammonite officials said to Hanun, Do you really think that David is honoring your father by sending messengers to express sympathy? Have not his servants come to you to explore and spy out the country to overthrow it? So Hanun took David's emissaries and shaved them. He cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks and sent them away. When some people came and told David about the men, he sent messengers to meet them, for the men were thoroughly humiliated. The king said, Stay in Jericho until your beards grow, and then return. When the children of Ammon realized they had made themselves a stench to David, Hanun and the Ammonites sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire chariots and charioteers from Aram Naharaim, Aram Maacah, and Zobah. So they hired 32,000 chariots along with the king of Maacah and his people, who came and camped before Medeba. The children of Ammon also assembled from their cities and moved out to the battle. On hearing this, David sent Joab and the entire army of mighty men. The children of Ammon came out and took up battle formation at the city gate, while the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that there was a battle line against him, both in front and rear, he selected some of Israel's best men and deployed them against the Arameans. He put the rest of the people under the command of his brother Avishai and arrayed them against the Ammonites. He said, If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you will help me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will help you. Chazak, take courage for the sake of our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in his eyes. So Joab and the people who were with him advanced to battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans had fled, they likewise fled before his brother Avishai and withdrew into the city. Then Yoav went to Yerushalayim. After the Arameans saw that they had been routed by Israel, they sent messengers and had the Arameans brought from across the river, with Shophah, the commander of Hadadezer's army, leading them. When David was informed, he gathered all Israel and crossed the Jordan. He came against them and took up positions against them. David took up positions against the Arameans in battle, and they fought with him. But the Arameans fled before Israel. David killed 7,000 Aramean charioteers and 40,000 infantrymen. He also killed Shophah, the commander of the army. Now when Hadadezer's vassals saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and served him. Thus the Arameans were no longer willing to help the Ammonites. That was 1 Chronicles chapter 19, which brings us to our last portion for today, which is 1 Timothy chapter 3. Trustworthy is the saying, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a good work. An overseer then must be beyond criticism, the husband of one wife, clear-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine, not violent but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money, managing his household well, keeping his children under control with all respectfulness. But if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's community? He must not be a new believer. Or he may become puffed up and fall into the same judgment as the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation with those outside, so that he will not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. Servant leaders likewise must be dignified, not double-speaking, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Also let them first be tested. Then let those who are blameless serve as servant leaders. Women likewise must be dignified, not backbiting, clear-minded, trustworthy in every respect. Let servant leaders be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who have served well as servant leaders gain for themselves a good standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Messiah Yeshua. These things I write to you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I delay, I write so you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the community of the living God, a pillar and foundation of truth. Now beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness. He was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, trusted throughout the world, taken up in glory. That was 1 Timothy chapter 3, which concludes the reading for today. If you're reading the double track of Apostles, you would also read John chapter 7. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope and pray that you have a blessed day and that the words of God may dwell in you richly. My name is Sophia, and this has been Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom until next time.